KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available at our website. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday of the month at 4:30 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Hi, and welcome back to Rural Roots Rising. If this is your first time listening, Rural Roots Rising is a monthly radio show and podcast created by and for rural Oregonians who are creatively and courageously building stronger and more vibrant communities for a just democracy. My name is Hannah Harrod, and I'm an organizer at the Rural Organizing Project and one of the creators of Rural Roots Rising. In this month's episode, Behind the Scenes with Rural Race Talks, we're continuing our community media spotlight series where we highlight rural media makers across the state. Last month, we introduced you to Lanisha Duke and her call-in program, Rural Race Talks, on Coast Community Radio. If you missed the first part of our feature with Lanisha, be sure to give it a listen online at ruralrootsrising.org or wherever you get your podcasts. If you heard part one, you know that the format of Rural Race Talks allows listeners to call in and grapple with race, racial justice, trauma, history, and connection, among other things. Here is a brief example.
That you all are here joining us today. And we are excited about today's show. This is Lanisha Duke, and I am your host joining you from Manzanita, Oregon. And I am so excited today for our conversation with our special guest, Justin Hersom, who is a licensed social worker with Adventist Health. And we are going to talk about trauma today. We're going to be looking at what is trauma, what causes trauma, how do we recognize our own trauma, how do we recognize trauma in others, and some of the triggers and the effects of trauma. And so, Justin, are you there?
I am there. Good morning, Lanisha.
One of the strange things about this pandemic is how entire relationships can develop with folks you haven't met in person. If this was before COVID, Lanisha and I would have gone for a walk on the beach by now. Instead, we've gotten to know each other over phone and video calls and by taking turns interviewing each other for Rural Roots Rising and Rural Race Talks. I'm glad you get to join me in getting to know more about the underpinnings of Rural Race Talks, how radio fits into Lanisha's personal story, and how the show intertwines with her organizing. Here's Lanisha.
I decided to do a talk show because I wanted to talk with my community, right? And so the premise of it being a live call-in show is really that in-the-moment engagement, which for me is really the prime example of how to talk about race is actually talking about race. It's not a list of 10 steps of if you've checked this off, if you've checked this off, if you've checked this off, now you've created your conversation surrounding race. That's not my approach. My approach is definitely having that engagement, having direct feedback, you know, from the audience and really from my community. But for something that is so personal, it really needs to be felt in those moments.
So often we like hear, you know, we read articles or you get these little like clips and bites about like how to have these difficult conversations about race, but actually watching somebody model that and to do it with such deep like love and sense of humor in the ways that you do it, I feel like is, you know, some of the best learning that folks can have and to actually be engaged in the conversation instead of talking about how you engage in the conversation. Yeah,
right.
I love that. That makes so much sense.
If you're like me, you may have experienced call-in radio shows as spaces where the loudest, most overpowering voices are the only ones heard. But Lanisha is flipping the script, carving out a platform for the community to face its fears and to practice discussing a topic many white Oregonians are afraid to dive into. Lanisha has recently hosted episodes on the systems that keep racism in place, compassionate listening, and effective dialogue, among other topics. I wanted to know more about how she got started.
It's so funny, when the opportunity came, my husband and I had actually been talking about doing a radio show. And then this opportunity came up, and it came up based on a webinar I did in July on how to talk about race in rural communities. When I had to come up with a title for what I was going to talk about, I literally changed a little bit an article that was written on me in the Oregonian in 2017, I do believe. And it was, that title was How to Talk About Race in White Towns. And I was like, that's a little too much. And so I directed it to rural communities, because I think that there is a very distinct difference in how some of these, at least in my experience, how I've been able to engage in conversations around race. The station manager and some other folks from the radio station attended the webinar and was like, it's right about where we're at and trying to have this conversation. And it has been a learn as you go experience. I'll say that for sure. And I think this last month, I finally sort of felt like I had my sea legs about me. And felt pretty good about this show, but it has definitely been a learning experience.
Before becoming a well-known local leader and a radio show host, Lanisha was brand new to the Oregon coast. I love this story, so let's go back in time to hear how Lanisha wound up in Tillamook County.
I was at a place in my life where I was still deciding what my life was going to look like. I had recently quit corporate America a couple of years before, really looking to pursue purpose in my life instead of just a paycheck. And so I walked away from everything I knew to grow uncomfortable enough to grow where I was supposed to be. And so one day I was sitting down thinking about what I wanted my life to look like. I was a couple of years from being 40, single, no kids. And I was like, I can still decide what I want my life to be. And I wrote a list that comprised of, I wanted to live in a small community where I knew my neighbors, because I grew up that way. Even though I grew up in Southern California, our community knew each other. I wanted to live close to the water. I am definitely a West Coast girl. And last but not least, I wanted to live simple but well. I said a prayer, and I literally took to Google. I ended up finding a Christian conference center in Cannon Beach, and that was my exploration and how I got here. And I did not know one person when I got here. I had never been here before, didn't even know until that Google search that this place existed on a map.
That was over 6 years ago. She's since gotten married and found deep community. Now, Lanisha says her soul keeps her in the area, where she is surrounded by the birds, elk, the Nehalem River, and nearby mountains. But it didn't become home overnight. It took some time for Lanisha to get her bearings.
My first weekend in Cannon Beach, I woke up the next morning and it was like, what did I do? I've literally relocated my entire life to a place I've never been and didn't know anyone. And I tried to have a pity party, and I'm thankful I didn't allow myself to. I got up, I got dressed, and I was like, well, it's time for me to go meet community. And the first place I walked into was a bookstore in Cannon Beach, Jupiter Books, owned by Watt Childress. And that was the greatest gift that could ever have been given to me. And I'm very thankful that Watt helped me sort of learn how to just get around. And the first thing was finding some collard greens in time for Thanksgiving. So Watt helped me with that.
As an accomplished chef, Lanisha also knew firsthand how food brings people together.
I also started cooking soul food out here. And so I was frying chicken and making collard greens and red beans and rice, cornbread on Sundays at the Mansley the Lighthouse. And during that, able to meet more people and just share experience. And then I went from there to doing private chef work, where I went into people's homes and prepared that meal for them. And it was just a very organic way of really connecting with people heart to heart.
If you've been listening to this series for a while, you'll know that many of the organizers we've interviewed never set out with the goal to become organizers. Rather, they were looking to build community or to solve a problem, and before they knew it, bam, they were organizing.
I started organizing here in Tillamook County almost by accident. I did not move here to become an organizer. I just sort of moved here to live, and the two, I guess, were supposed to be coincidental to one another. I started organizing simply because I wanted to build community. My family was worried about me living here by myself, not knowing anyone, not having, you know, something happened, not having really anyone within reach. And so I just started building my community.
One of the first developments in Lanisha's organizing was realizing there was no Martin Luther King Jr. Day celebration or commemoration in town. Lanisha recognized that an event to honor the vision of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the civil rights movement could be an opportunity to have conversations about race from a place people already felt connected to.
My first two January, it was interesting to me that actually that there was no Martin Luther King celebration whatsoever. And I was like, if there's any message that's universal, that transcends color lines for what it's worth, any boundary there is to humanity, love is a universal language. And when done in its purest form, I think connects with the most people. And I just thought it was weird for me growing anywhere I've lived, there's always been something to do for MLK Day. And coming out of some of those hard conversations, the end of 2016, I got a message from a friend that said, hey, Lanisha, do you think you want to do something for MLK Day? And I was like, oh my gosh. So that was my, it's time. And by then I had been here 3 years going on, and just really wanted, again, to provide a space for community to be able to come together, break bread, learn from each other simply by talking to each other, not a lot of coercion in what that conversation would be, because I really believe conversations and the things that will need to happen will happen. That's how we started, really. And just rallying around love, around education, some of it, you know, around racial education, the civil rights movement, being able to highlight really some of the real work that was being done to transcend the racial divide across this country, and being able to provide people a safe space to unpack their knowledge, their emotion, you know, around some really delicate topics that primarily in rural communities aren't had as much as in urban settings.
The Martin Luther King Jr. Day events were powerful opportunities for community connection, starting with a unity breakfast and walk across town in 2017 and growing over the next couple of years into 3 days of events, including a movie with community dialogue, presentations about civil rights leaders at the Hoffman Center for the Arts in Manzanita, and a day of service. Lanisha and other local organizers know there is still so much work that needs to be done.
2020 has brought a lot to the surface, a lot. With the pandemic, with the murder of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, the list goes on and on. I'm thinking about it as a great awakening, in a sense. And I think we're at a place where the universe, God, Mother Nature, Mother Earth, humanity at its core is begging us to really examine our own hearts. And what are we really projecting into the universe? Even those who like to say they're on the right side of history or getting into good trouble, really, where does it all stem from, right? Where is it rooted? And I think we're in a place where we're being, at least for me, I'm really looking to be guided even more by love.
Look, I'm sure I don't have to tell you this, but take it from a rural preacher's kid. The reality of small towns is that everyone knows everyone. I asked Lanisha how that shapes her organizing and radio show.
Is there anything that is unique, do you think, about doing a talk show in a rural community versus like in a bigger city where, you know, you don't like then like go to the grocery store and run into the people that you might have talked to who called in, or, you know,
it's like
your friends and neighbors, and that, you know, there's no anonymity, there's no separation in that way. And it's like an extension, I know, of the conversations you're having off the air.
I care more because I also know a lot of who my audience is, right? They're just not ears, empty ears of listeners. No, these are my friends. These are the people that I'm working with, that I'm engaging with. This is my family that I'm having this conversation with. And I'm going to be very honest. If I was blowing smoke out my behind, they would know that too, right? But and so for me, it's a perfect balance of they know me well enough to where I want to be accountable, not just to myself, but to my community. And I'm very thankful. I get texts or emails from my friends after every show that listened, and they're like, good job. You know what I'm saying? Here's what I thought about this. And so it's it continues, like you said, even when I'm off the air, and it's immediate. Again, it's not, I have to wait to get feedback from the station manager. No, anybody who wants to get in touch with me can. I'm very open in that way and really appreciate that it is an extension of just building my family. But one of the most exciting shows that I've done, and I have only done, I want to say, four or five to date, is we did a show on talking about trauma. And I had a guest, Justin is a licensed clinical social worker at Adventist Health down in Tillamook. You know, people think that talking about race is, some people think that talking about race is just talking about black stuff, right? But no, trauma is a part of talking about race because we have all been traumatized from the effects of racism, not just in this country, but across the globe. And so to really be able to find those intersections where more people can relate, no, you might not be able to relate, you know, to my experience as a black person in this, but we share this experience because we've all experienced trauma. And what I believe is if we can't heal individually from our trauma, how can we start healing collectively from some of our trauma, right? And so it's really important for me to be able to have those intersecting moments that really does open up that relationship to what we're talking about to other people.
The immediate feedback Lanisha has access to is one way that her organizing and her show overlap. In cities with big populations, most radio show hosts don't hear much from their listeners. Think about how often you've been moved by a show. Maybe you told your friends about it, but did you actually call the host or producer and share your thoughts? Part of living in a small community and being in relationship to one another means that sometimes the impact and the transformations are shared in real time.
So I was in a store and talking to some friends, and somebody goes, "Oh, Lanisha, are you the one that does the rural race talks on the radio?" And I, you know, I'm like, "Yeah, that was me." And she goes, "Oh my God, I was listening to the show on trauma, and it was in the shop, and I just had to stop everything I was doing, and I just broke down in tears because it was just what I needed to hear that day." And I was like, "That's why we do this show." And I was like, "That person right there and that one story is why I continue to show up, why I continue to put myself out there, why I continue to make very public mistakes." Because it's those moments where it's worth it.
Here at Rural Roots Rising, our episodes are pre-recorded, often with multiple takes to cut out when I sneeze or read the wrong narration. And if someone gets a little lost in an interview, they can always start over. But live radio is completely different. I experienced that firsthand when I went on the air with Lanisha, and we were suddenly talking about things I hadn't jotted down notes for. I was struck by how much Rural Race Talks fosters actual conversations, where you might struggle to find the words you're looking for or accidentally talk over each other. Because the show is not fully scripted or pre-recorded, this requires a layer of braveness and openness to engaging the unexpected, just like talking with our neighbors about race off the air. It also means some technical hiccups now and then and a willingness to learn in public.
I've been disconnected from the show live on air before. Oh, that was fun. It's like, oh my God, my phone just went dead. It's a growing process. And I think, you know, there's this notion of perfection, that everything has to be perfect. And I'm very thankful. One of the very first books my therapist had me read a long time ago was When Perfect Isn't Good Enough. And I think that being live on air in all of my imperfections while trying to put on a good show, it's a level of humility that hopefully even in our mistakes that we make, that people realize that's the human experience. No matter where you are in life, no matter how much money you have or don't have, no matter where you live, mistakes are part of the growth process. And I think that more of us need to give space to make those mistakes.
I love that. One of the things we've said about like doing Rural Roots Rising is that we want to be a part of a process of like learning in public. Like, how are we not just like behind the scenes trying to figure it out and get better and do it all right, but like making that all part of the, like being transparent about that process, because we're learning, and how can other folks learn and build their skills around, you know, creating rural media too. So for folks to be like, no, I'm just the person in the community and I'm building these skills as we go. And look, I got disconnected and it's okay. I think that probably also makes more room for other people too, to think about what's possible.
You know, I like to say I have succeeded at failure, but I've succeeded at failure because I learn from it, I grow from it, you know, I heal from it. I was thinking even this morning, it was like, it's funny how a lot of my failures have been public, and not just here since I've moved here, but even before, a lot of my failures, you know. But at the same time, the more public my failures are, the more public my healing has been. And so it's a win-win.
One thing we've been learning during this series is that each organizer's path is radically different. Just like being brave enough to host a call-in show where you have no idea what's going to happen next, organizing means responding to your community moment to moment and creating opportunities for real change together with folks that have often intentionally been kept out. Not just to check a diversity box, but to really alter the power structures and decision-making in our communities.
We live in a community, Tillamook County, 27,000 residents about, and probably right around 50 or so Black people. And so even in having conversations about Black Lives Matter, I recognize because of where I live and what my community looks like is that that isn't a pointed conversation that we can have because we just don't have the numbers, right? And so even in teaching about the experience of Black people in this country, why even having conversations about why Black folks don't live in Oregon and the history of that, it also needs to compromise so many other people who are forgotten because they're not from a main family, a known family in our community. They have a different sexual identity that, they're trying to just live authentically in. People experiencing disabilities, you know, there's so many different type of access equity issues, and really being trying to champion a place where we can actually show up without having to check a box. I, for one, as a person of color, I don't like the demographic questions. I don't like having to prove why I'm worthy of an experience. It doesn't matter where your intersectionality is. If you say you need help, if you need advocacy, we want to be there for you.
In a time when our country is debating about the role of media and free speech, and communities are rapidly losing access to locally created content, generating radio programming and podcasting stories in our own voices really matters. Media can be used to turn people against one another, as we have seen in so many examples across history. And media can be a way to start conversations that both call for accountability and disarm further violence. It can create spaces where people face hard truths and push for better worlds. A call-in show in a rural community is so much more than just a few voices on the air. Rural Race Talks is about making room for all of us.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with helping me grow more into my message, right? And again, learning as we go, but really just bringing more people into the conversation and then more people grow in that conversation. And I'm very hopeful that people just don't see me a Black person that's talking about race, because even though that is part of the conversation, it is a very important piece of the conversation. I really hope that people are able to see that this is a conversation about relationships that we should be having, about what it's like to really, you know, drop the guards, remove the walls, strip down, be in a safe space to do that. We are unpacking a lot right now. We are trying to figure out a lot. And I really hope my radio show and the organizing that I do is really just that safe space to be able to listen to their heart, even in a way that they haven't before, when something is said that resonates with them or that connects with them, that they just really have that safe space to be like, now what does this mean? It's one of those things where I go in, I hold my breath for that hour, I try to be prepared, but I expect the unexpected, because that's how life really works.
Our histories of racism in rural places are shared histories, not just individual. And to reckon with those histories, heal, and rebuild requires us to learn how to have these conversations and grapple together with where we go from here. And that's not a process anyone can do in isolation.
I think the biggest thing that I've learned from this specific interaction is that the conversations are easier to have when people know they're not by themselves. The growth is easier to obtain when people know that they're growing with someone else. And even though I'm a person of color speaking from a very particular lens and lived experience, again, there's so many points of our lives that intersect our needs, our desires, our hopes, our fears. So it's a way to just connect and tell people, hey, you're not alone in this journey.
You've been listening to Behind the Scenes with Rural Race Talks. Rural Race Talks is a live call-in show airing on Coast Community Radio. For this episode, we got to be in conversation with Lanisha Duke, the host of Rural Race Talks. This episode is part two in our two-part feature about Lanisha's radio program and community organizing. If you didn't catch part one, be sure and find it online at ruralrootsrising.org or wherever you listen to podcasts. During season two of Rural Roots Rising, we'll be continuing this series we're calling Community Media Spotlights, and you'll be hearing much more from rural media makers around the state. Know of a rural media maker we should meet? Let us know at info@ruralrootsrising.org. We featured music from the Library Ands, PC1, and the Staple Singers. Rural Roots Rising is created by the Rural Organizing Project, a network of more than 80 autonomous member groups who are committed to advancing human dignity and democracy across rural Oregon. To learn more about the Rural Organizing Project and to sign up for weekly email updates, go to ROP.org. If you liked what you heard today, you can find more episodes at ruralrootsrising.org. You can follow Rural Organizing Project on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and subscribe to Rural Roots Rising wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks so much for listening. See you next month.
This is KBOO Portland. I'm Raj Patel, and you're listening to the only radio station named after a kind of marijuana.
Produced at the studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon. This is Free Culture Radio. Free Culture Radio neither promotes the use of any drugs nor condemns people for being involved in drugs. To the extent that drug use presents problems for individuals or society, those problems are made worse and more intractable when people who use drugs are treated as others and ignored, stigmatized, and even brutalized.